Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today remembering 9/11. Perhaps you recall 9/11. Where were you on 9/11? What were you doing? What did you think at the time that took place? Call us at 831-0917. I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to hear your thoughts and opinions. We're 18 years out from that horrific event. What do you believe has happened in America since then? Do you believe that we've gotten better or worse? Do you believe that we really have remembered what took place, why it took place, and who attacked us and the Western civilization, the United States of America, 9/11, 2001. Where were you? What were you doing? What were your thoughts? What do you think is taking place today? That telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Ladies and gentlemen, we were just talking about the fact that in 2006, the Pentagon report was finalized as to the question of what took place, what caused 9/11, what was the cause of it, what were they doing? And this is, I'm going to read from you from page 36 in my book, Is Islam Tolerant? The Quran and the Pentagon. In a news article from WorldNet Daily dated September the 27th, 2006, the Pentagon, that had been tasked with intelligence analysis to pinpoint what's driving Muslims, Muslim after Muslim, to do the unthinkable. Their finding is politically explosive. In their holy book, the Quran, the Pentagon's intelligence analysts reached the conclusion that Muslim suicide bombers are in fact students of the Quran who are motivated to violence by the teachings of the Quran. In Islam, it is not how one lived one's life that guarantees spiritual salvation, but how one dies, according to the Pentagon's intelligence briefing. So, ladies and gentlemen, that answers the question. And yet we have forgotten that, I believe, in American society today. Somehow, some way, we have the feeling that Islam is tolerable and we should embrace them. Some of the most wicked, evil communication I've had from so-called Christians and from mainline denominations across America, because of our stand against Islam, we've had some wicked, evil, vicious, vile communications confronting us because of taking a stand. Ladies and gentlemen, across America today, our school students, are being indoctrinated in the public schools with Islamic jihadist diatribe and telling them that Islam is a peaceful religion. I believe we have Greg back on the line. Go with your call, question, or comment, please.
You know, it's interesting. Along that line, and I'm not sure how much I was able to get out before we were disconnected earlier, but there are textbooks in America that cover Islam, 14, 15, 16 pages, and they'll have a one or two paragraph blurb on Christianity. That's in the midst of a culture that's supposed to be a predominantly Christian culture. And it throws me for a loop, because we have liberals and leftists across America. They'll pitch holy terror fits about anything smacking of Christianity. Even though we have, you know, First Amendment freedom of religion, they'll have a fit. And they'll say nothing when it comes to Islam. And by the way, you know, these the baker, the florist, all these Christians that have been assaulted for their Christian principles applied to business, they'll not do that with Islam. Matter of fact, you know, if you send a homosexual to an Islamist baker or an Islamic florist, you know what? You'll not only be sent away most of the time, but you'll be sent away with a level of hate, disdain, perhaps pejoratives that you would not otherwise expect. However, you don't see the lawsuits against the Islamic bakers and the Islamic florist. The hypocrisy is absolutely palpable. And you know, back on the amicus brief that Russell Moore spent. Dollars that were intended for the cause of Christ were spent on an amicus brief in defense of a mosque. I think Pastor Dean Hahn responded very well to that. He stepped down in leadership the IMB, and he stated, "I want no part in supporting a false religion, even if it is in the name of religious freedom." I believe that pastors across America should take that exact same approach. If you give harbor, you give harbor to false religion, it's like leaving the idols up and saying, "Hey, folks, you know, you can be a Christian, you can bow down to this idol, or you can be a Christian and come into the church. It's all the same. Same thing. It's all good. We all love one another." This sloppy agape, as my younger brother used to always call this, the sloppy agape God's love on everything has brought us to a horrible place in America where we no longer call things right, right, and wrong, wrong. You know, we've mixed and blended things to the point that there's no longer any real discernment in the body of Christ.
Greg, I'm glad you mentioned that. In fact, it brings to mind, I don't know if you're familiar with the church in Michigan, where a pastor had planned a two-day seminar on Islam, Bloomingfield Hills, Michigan. The article says this was on September the 4th, and it was projecting in advance. It says next week's two anti-Muslim events will be held at a Bloomingfield Hill church in an attempt to assign blame to 9/11 to the entire Muslim community. The events have been widely denounced as hateful and Islamophobic. In response, State Representative Abdullah Hamahaman, Democrat of Dearborn, and Maria Munigan, Democrat of Birmingham, issued the following statement, quote, now this is a statement against a pastor and his church in Bloomingfield Hills, Illinois, Michigan, that is, simply because he was planning on having a Remember 9/11 Day and present facts, and the facts are going to be presented by former Muslims. It says our community should be outraged by these scheduled toxic and bigoted events. With the rise of mass shootings by white domestic terrorists targeting those who deem others, we are deeply disturbed that a place of worship would host an event that continues to fan the flames of hate and intolerance. Religious institutions should strive to be welcoming centers for all. We strongly encourage Bloomingfield Hills Baptist Church to reconsider hosting these events and instead seek opportunities to foster positive dialogue within their community, end quote. And Greg, I'm looking at the handbills, the flyers that were sent out for that event. It is a beautifully prepared flyer. It says 9/11 forgotten? Question mark. Is Michigan surrendering to Islam? Question mark. Two-day event, vital briefings. How the interfaith movement is sabotaging America and the church, presented by Sharam Hadeen, a Christian pastor, former Muslim, and former law enforcement officer, Wednesday, 9/11, the 19th, on 2019. How Islam is destroying America from within, presented by Jim Simpson, former OMB economist to three presidents and investigative journalist, Thursday, 9/12/2019. Where? Bloomingfield Hills Baptist Church, 3600 Telegraph Road, West Side, just north of Long Lake Road. When? Doors open at 6 p.m. Program begins at 7. Bring your family, bring your friends, bring your neighbors. Refreshments will be served. And that's what they were going to do, simply enlighten. Part of the program, Greg, and our listeners need to hear this, the program presented by, quote, a Christian pastor and former Muslim will contain. It will reveal how he fled Iran with his family just before the Islamic Revolution. It will talk about sharing. He will share his testimony converting to Christianity from Islam. He will expose the growing deception of interfaith dialogue. He will reveal the unholy connection between interfaith groups and the Muslim Brotherhood. He will explain how interfaith dialogue is compromising the gospel and our national security. He will also talk about and answer questions why Christians should not be celebrating Ramadan. He will blow the lid off the lie that Islam is an Abrahamic faith. He will discuss ways to equip the next generation to boldly defend their Christian faith. He will arm Christians with biblically share the gospel of Jesus Christ and how they can do it with Muslims. He will prioritize the Great Commission as the calling to share Christ with the world. He will share seven practical steps to be able to biblically share the gospel of Jesus Christ with Muslims. He will outline Islam's false views on sin, salvation, and eternity, and much, much more. I don't see anything wrong with that. I believe that it should be. And yet, he was absolutely petrified, frightened, bamboozled, and intimidated to the point that he had to cancel the event. Here's another article, Greg, that says, a brave pastor planned an event to educate his congregation and the entire community on the threats of Islam. The event was a two-day planned event to have two excellent speakers on the subject. The event was finalized and planned until the media and CAIR, C-A-I-R, Council on American Islamic Relations, got involved. We all know what happened next. The church froze. The elders submitted to the demands, the event to be canceled. They canceled it out of fear. Out of the fear of safety for the church, its attendees and speakers, fear canceled the event. Instead of digging in and connecting every law enforcement agency to protect them, once, this article says again, a church caved to the worldly reasons and did not take a godly stand against the attack. The article goes further to say both speakers were banned from speaking the truth, banned from the church. Why? Because the socialists, Marxists, Islamics gathered together to shout it down. And the church submitted to the pressure, submitted to Islam, submitted to the totalitarian system of Sharia. They denied Christian principles, denied Christ's strength, denied freedom of speech, denied our founding fathers' liberties that they provided us with, end quote. Greg, how do you respond to that? What do you think, and how should our listeners understand this taking place?
There's a will ignorance in the culture. You know, much of the culture, their willful ignorance, I'm just going to let it pass. I'm most concerned with what the body of Christ knows and how it responds. You know, that's why I asked the question of Dr. Gabriel, how do you share Jesus with a Muslim? And of course, his response, speak to them about death. It's all they understand. We have too many ignorant believers, though. You know, so many times they immediately shut their trap as soon as somebody calls them a bigot. Well, guess what? The folks on the other side, you know, they want to say you're intolerant. First off, Jesus had that exclusive message. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He was intolerant of other ways because other ways don't exist. You know, they're false religions. So it's fine. You know, if somebody wants to call you a bigot, that's now, I will say, I'll hold the mirror up for some of those people. You know, you see that coexist bumper sticker running down the road. If folks driving cars with a coexist bumper sticker, I'm sorry, folks, you're just as ignorant as they come. That little crescent in the beginning of coexist, that's the most intolerant religion on the face of the earth. They're not just going to say we disagree with you. Those folks in cultures where they dominate, they kill folks they disagree with. Even those folks that call themselves Muslims, if they're not rigid enough in their ideology, if they're not fundamentalist enough in their lifestyle, those fundamentalist Islamists, those fundamentalist Muslims will attack them and kill them. I mean, that's as intolerant as it comes. You know, we have Christians dying around the world, being martyred around the world, and one time after another, you find that it's Muslims on the other side of that want to eradicate the believer. This past week, they came into a village and hacked the ears off of a lot of Christian women. You know, just as basically, we're going to send you back with your ears hacked off and see if that'll send them a message. They've come in, and of course, ISIS ravaged village after village, selling women and girls off into sex slavery, men absolutely tortured and tormented and put to death. Somehow or another, by the way, folks, that's Islam. That's not perverted view of Islam. That's fundamentalist Islam. That level of domination, that level of hatred is fundamentalist Islam. A fundamentalist believer will tell you about the love of Jesus Christ. They'll tell you about the righteousness of God and God's judgment that's going to be ultimate. And in the future, every man, woman, boy, and girl on earth will be judged. Now, that's not a Christian saying, hey, we're going to put you to death because you're a sinner. But within Islam, those things that they consider sin, they'll put you to death for. A woman can be raped, and she will be found guilty of adultery in these Sharia law cultures. Do you not understand, folks? You know, please don't continue in your ignorance, but particularly the body of Christ, do your homework. Don't at all embrace this notion of Chrislam. Don't you at all give any space at all to Muhammad or to Allah. These are false gods. These are false religions. If you defend them for one second, you have wasted a breath that God gave you to share Jesus Christ. You have wasted a moment that you can never recall.
Greg, that's the reason, and I stated in my books, I've written the book, Is Islam Tolerant? I've written the book, The Coming Global Islamic Invasion, and both of which I stress the fact that there's no such thing as radical Islam. That term doesn't exist any place in the Quran. That term doesn't exist any place in the vocabulary of Islam. It is the ones that are true to the Quran, those that are what we would call fundamentalist Muslims, just as with you spoke of a moment ago, a fundamentalist Christian, that one that believes in the fundamentals of the faith, will share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, will share what the Word of God says, will say what God's Word says. And the same is true with the fundamentalist Islamics. And those are the ones that believe in and follow the Quran. I've used a kind of a litmus test down through the years, and you've heard me say that, and talking with a Muslim, you might want to ask the question, does he believe in the Quran? Yes. Does he believe that what Allah says he ought to do? Yes. Does he believe that Muhammad is the prophet and he needs to follow Muhammad? Does he believe that he needed to carry, and go right on down the list of what do you believe about the Quran? And if that person believes the Quran, believes it's from Allah, believes he needs to follow it, believes he needs to obey it, believes he needs to carry out holy jihad, that person, given the opportunity, will kill you, will kill me, or any other person that is a non-Muslim, Jew or Christian, because they are warned in the Quran not to make friends with the Jew or the Christian at all. Greg, here's on page 234 and 235 in my book, Is Islam Tolerant? Under the subtitle, Islamic Law and Tolerance. Number one, Christians and Jews are not allowed to build churches and temples or synagogues in any of the Islamic nations. Number two, Christians and Jews are not allowed to pray or read their sacred books out loud at home or in the churches, lest Muslims share their prayers and kill them. Number three, Christians and Jews are not allowed to print their religious books or sell them in public places. Number four, Christians and Jews are not allowed to install crosses or the Star of David on their houses or churches, since they're symbols of infidelity in an Islamic nation. Number five, Christians and Jews are not allowed to broadcast or display their services on radio, television, or other media. Number six, Christians and Jews are not allowed to congregate publicly. Number seven, Christians and Jews cannot join the army because they're not allowed to assume leadership positions. Islam is therefore the most intolerant religion in the world, yet Christians are accused of not being tolerant. Touches on what you'd said earlier, and that is the thing that is most frightening to me, because evidently, Greg, and I'm praying that our listeners are understanding, saying remember 9/11. I believe we've forgotten 9/11. In fact, we have youngsters today that's grown up and become adults or in the late teens that barely remember it, and it's been watered down to the point that they believe that somehow, some way, Islam is tolerant and we should embrace that. But Greg, I am concerned when I see our schools today, the public schools. Our public schools are talking about Islam in the positive sense. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, today our children in public schools are being indoctrinated with Islamic teachings. Children are being required to repeat the Islamic conversion prayer. It's called the Shahada. The Shahada says there's one God and his name is Allah and his prophet is Muhammad. And repeating that is called the Shahada. That is the conversion prayer. And we're doing this in our public schools, ladies and gentlemen. They're requiring students in the public school system in the United States of America to reenact the Islamic prayers. They're required in some of the schools and some of the class assignments to dress up and act like Islamics. In most of the public schools across America and in all of the public universities and colleges in America, they allow the Islamic students to get up, walk out of the class, and have the prayers five times a day, praying to Allah. They have the prayer rugs where the students are allowed to fall down on the prayer rugs and pray. They're reading from the Quran in the public school classrooms. Prayer rugs are supplied to the Islamic students. Our school textbooks are advocating Islam. So, ladies and gentlemen, what does the Quran really teach? Is it tolerant? Does the Quran teach Islamic peace? Absolutely not. Based on the Quran itself, it is not teaching that at all. Here's an article, ladies and gentlemen, says Michigan Church Islamophobia pastor blasted for his plans to host an anti-Muslim 9/11 event. I touched on that earlier. I have a whole sheaf of articles about it. This article says Michigan politicians asked the Bloomingfield Hills Baptist Church to cancel an anti-Islamic, they're calling it that, 9/11 commemoration. Detroit, USA is the dateline. State representatives, Detroit and USA state representatives, called on Bloomingfield, Michigan Church, whose pastor has called himself an Islamophobic, to cancel an anti-Muslim event planned around this week's 9/11 anniversary. The Free Press was unable to reach Bloomingfield Hills pastor by email or by telephone. The church pastor, Donald McKay, told Fox 2 last week that Islam, listen, this is what the pastor said. Islam is a growing threat in the United States of America, and that although he doesn't speak for his church, we don't hate Muslims. We hate the ideology that are identified with it. The church's events, including September 11th talk titled "How the Interfaith Movement is Sabotaging America and the Church." According to the speaker, Sharam Hadim, website, September 11th discussion will expose the growing deception of interfaith dialogue and explain how interfaith dialogue is compromising the gospel and our national security. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm fearful of what is taking place in America, where freedom of speech and religious liberties in a church, where a church would be foreclosed on the possibility and frightened to death by Islamic jihadists and by the politicians in America and the politicians in any state, county, or local representative that will try to put pressure on a church to prevent that. I can speak firsthand, ladies and gentlemen, from that standpoint. We've had Bridget Gabriel with the Acts for America chapter, where she goes across America warning people, warning citizens of the United States of America, the danger, the inherent danger of the ever-growing Islamic invasion in the United States of America and the ultimate end result. And on two occasions when we had her speak, we had to have security guards on the building, on the grounds, in the building, and multitudes of security watching over the congregation and those participants. She will not go to a place unless they provide armed security for her protection. She's had over 3,000 threats on her life. She's had to move several times, change of address, change of phone numbers, in order to be sequestered and secured in her life and living because the dangers posed by the Islamic threats against her and by multitudes in American politics that claim that she's not in danger at all. I'll never forget when we first scheduled her here in our church and on this campus. We had invited the local intelligence department to put plainclothes officers in the building. And I told them why, because of the threats on her life. They did an investigation and called back and said, "We don't find where there's any threats or danger." I said, "If you can do it, fine. If you can't, okay." Fortunately, they were willing to still send police officers to be here, to security outside and inside. We hired a private security team also to come in to be the security for it. And this pastor, I'm ashamed for him that he bowed and folded under the demands and the threats from Christians, from churches, from politicians, from those that were willing to threaten him and the safety of his congregation. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go with your question or comment, please.
I'll tell you what, this thing, that's such a challenge. Nonetheless, I wanted to challenge believers out there, and I know I may get cut off again. Challenge believers. When folks approach and try to equate the two, Islam and Christianity, Allah and God, understand they will try to bamboozle you by pulling text out of the Old Testament saying X, Y, and Z, and this means that this God's the same as Allah, and they deny the real core. Within Christianity, the central focus, the central figure is Jesus Christ. And you've already expressed the fact that Allah had no wife, had no son. Therefore, Jesus is not part of the picture, so it's not the same God. But let's focus on Jesus, and let's focus on Muhammad. The most violent you ever saw Jesus Christ when he walked the face of the earth was when he drove the money changers out of the temple. Outside of that, he was loving, he was healing, he was forgiving. He was, right down the list, all the wonderful things that Jesus did as he walked the earth during those 33 years, particularly his 3 years. And
absolutely.
Look at Muhammad though. Now each of these folks within their religion, within Christianity, within Islam, are to be related. We were called Christians first at Antioch. Christian meaning Christ like. We ought to look a lot like Jesus Christ looked. Within Islam, they literally to elect a man. Now, Muhammad, as I study a little bit about him, you realize that the second time he approached Mecca, he left out of Medina, his wife, Khadijah's first wife there, Khadijah, he had multiple wives. Nonetheless, he came to Medina a second time with 10,000 foot soldiers with a threat of violence. Now, his entire life was that of violence, robbing, raping, stealing, pillaging. That was his life. That was not a little subset. That was his life. That was the way he conducted himself. Now, if if Islamists see that as their perfect man and they seek to emulate, you're going to see violence that surrounds their lives. Well, history bears that out. We see that for the past 14 centuries, 13 centuries, right? We see that played out over and over and over and over and over within Christianity, mimicking Jesus Christ, doing what Jesus Christ. You don't see that at all. As folks that profess to be Christian are acting like Jesus Christ, you don't see that at all. I'm not saying that we don't have folks in jail that call themselves Christian committed bad act. Were they emulating Jesus Christ when they committed their bad act? No.
That's
so
right.
as we look at the religion, we have by the primary characters. So I challenge you to do that. And anybody now, there were two folks in front of First Conservative Baptist in August signs, one of them holding the sign saying, we worship our we love Jesus. Okay, so I decided to engage these two folks. The Jesus that they recognize is not the Jesus that saved my soul. Okay, it is not the Jesus that died on the cross and rose again the third day. It's not the Jesus that has divinity. It's not the Jesus, the only begotten Son of the living God. So, folks, we need to call these things out clearly. I ask for believers for the world because they can't wrap their mind around Christianity. They can't wrap their mind around Jesus Christ until they know him. But
absolutely,
for the believers, you need to know him and understand the difference and stand for that which is right.
Absolutely. Greg, if you'll hang in there, we've got about 2 minutes to go, and I believe we have another caller on the line. Go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. Earlier, Dr. Youngblood, you asked the question, what have we learned in the 18 years since 9/11? And I'd like to make a statement. What
Give us a statement real quick. We've got about a minute.
What we learned was how to elect one of the terrorists to the highest office in the United States for 8 years. That's what we learned.
I'm afraid you're correct. I'm delighted that you made that statement because he has made several statements in the time that he was in office, that is Barack Hussein Obama. And in fact, on one occasion, he had kind of a slip of lip where he talked about his Islamic faith. And I'm of the opinion that he is an Islamic, a closet Islamic. I believe that he did more to harm America by opening the doors for Islamic terrorism in America and in the Western world than any other president. Greg, if you would, we've got about 30 seconds. Wrap us up with a comment or statement that you believe would be beneficial for our listeners today.
Just stand on truth, folks. You as believers, continue to repeat Jesus' own word, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. I happily say, you know, if that's bigotry, I'm a bigot. You know, if pronouncing Jesus as the
Amen.
Only way of salvation.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us on this broadcast today. Join us again as once again we face the issues.
Let's face the issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.